This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to Nature Pact. Tell us a few words what you're doing.
First of all, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the invite. I run a company. I founded a company, and I'm the CEO of a company called Adamas One Corp. We're a U.S.-based company, and our primal focus is growing lab-grown diamonds. And we talk about lab-grown diamonds. We consider ourselves the original lab-grown diamond company for a handful of reasons. First of all, we own pretty much all of the base patents for the process to grow lab-grown diamonds by chemical vapor deposition, also known as kind of CVD. We purchased those patents, you know, in 2019, a small factory in Greenville, South Carolina, and we went on the course of how do we perfect and make the best lab-grown diamonds out there at a very cost-effective price and obviously as eco-friendly and social-friendly as possible. Right? Because I mean, obviously, when we talk about lab-grown diamonds, immediately it's like, okay, how are these differentiated from a diamond that comes out of the earth? Right? Yeah. Number one, everyone's like, oh, they're synthetics. Is it like moissanite or cupid zirconia? Absolutely not. I mean, we grow a real diamond. A diamond's a diamond. FTC came out in 2018 and said, look, doesn't matter if a diamond comes out of the earth or a laboratory. If it's a diamond, it's a diamond. Like a culture of pearls, a pearl. And when I break it down in even easier terms, I go, so a baby that's born out of IVF. Is it a human and a baby when it's born or is it not? I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, it's that same type of scenario. So we grow a diamond, chemically, physically, optically identical. It's just, we separate ourselves from traditional mining and how they acquire their diamonds and find their diamonds, as well as some of the, you know, the atrocities that kind of are buried themselves around, you know, the culture of how they get these mined diamonds, whether it's, you know, Ed, probably 90, 92% of the world's diamonds are coming from conflict areas when it comes to mined diamonds right now.
How does the industry take it? Are they, coming from the outside of anything to do with diamonds, being, you know, I don't know, male and so on, diamonds are not really my thing. But I would expect that the diamond industry is probably something relatively conservative. How have they taken the idea of, you know, diamonds are not coming from the mines and not from the conflict areas? Are they shocked? Do they take you seriously?
So it's funny. That's a very good question, by the way, because usually we're sure with the target on it just to make it easier for them. But I mean, we look at, you know, when we bought the assets in 2019, the lab-grown diamond industry didn't even represent 1% of the sales in America for diamonds. Right. So we weren't really that much of a threat. They tried to sandbox us. It's synthetic. And then when the FTC came out and said, it's not a synthetic, that kind of changed it a bit. And then they said, there's no resale value. And I go, well, consider we all sell off what's called the wrap report. We all sell off the same base, whether you're a mined diamond or a lab grown. We all use the same reference, right, for the valuation of our diamonds, as well as we're certified in the same criteria and with the same governing bodies, GIA, IGA, et cetera. So they've had difficulty kind of keeping the cat in the bag. 2021, lab-grown diamonds, less than 2% of sales, right? So still represented a small part of the American market and the U.S. market. Right now, 55% of diamond sales in America are lab-grown.
Wow.
55%. So now you're like, what do they think about them? It's kind of a dual question. Because we look at, now that we've crossed that threshold of over 50%, and we know that the consumer We know that the consumer has more than accepted, right, lab-grown diamonds as a very viable alternative to a mined diamond, right? That the retailers are like, hey, this is a great revenue stream for us. As well as if you look historically, even 12, 18 months ago, where distribution, like let's say it was a wholesaler for a mined diamond, they were struggling to get 5 to 7% margins. Lab-grown diamonds, 40, 45%. So we found a way to put money back in everybody's pocket. And for me, look, my goal is to not cannibalize and get rid of mined diamonds at all. Look, even though we both sell diamonds, we have two different categories. Theirs is diamonds are forever. Ours is diamonds are for everyone. Right? So people that traditionally might not have gone and bought a mined diamond, whether it's eco reasons or social reasons, or very other reasons, for us now that we give them an alternative where they can avoid those atrocities or mindset issues that they have and come over and buy an environmentally conscientious diamond. And that's where we are. And I say we, I talk about Adamas One, what we manufacture and how we manufacture our product. As far as what the other CBD companies or LP, I don't know. Those aren't my companies. So I can't say if they have better business practices, if the power source that they draw is killing the ecosystem and leaving a large carbon footprint. So I just know what we do as a company because we consider ourselves a true ESG company for a handful of reasons. First of all, even though lab-grown diamonds have a massive power draw, we're a nuclear-based power source. Almost no carbon footprint whatsoever. That's why we kept our factory in Greenville, South Carolina. As well as even if we talk about our water, because we have chiller systems, you got to keep everything cool, right? So our chiller systems are a closed loop. So we don't even use 18 gallons of water a year at the facility. So we're really as environmentally conscientious as possible. And then when it comes to labor, because people are saying sweatshops in China or India or labor laws are going against and child labor and blah, 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 blah. Again, whatever they do, that's on them. For us, a US-based company, we have massive restrictions and guidelines we have to follow when it comes to labor, right? Especially, I mean, you're never going to come to a Adamas One factory and see a 12-year-old with an AK-47 in their hand. Just that means a little bit different here, So for us, I can only talk about what we do as a company.
Of course. But the 55%, that's probably volume, not value, right?
Very, very good. So yes, it's a volume. And so when you take that from a value standpoint, even at 55%, it's really starting to creep up there. Because we look at right now in the current market, lab-grown diamonds are sold anywhere between 35 and 60% at a discount to what that same counterpart in mined diamond would sell for, which gives us a really good advantage as well. Because we know when people go into a store, let's say it's a 20-year-old, 25-year-old kid going in to buy an engagement ring for his fiance, and the first question that the clerk at the store asks is, what's your budget? Right? It's not, does she want this setting or that? It's like, where's your budget so we can kind of gauge the rest of what we push out and pitch? And let's say it's $3,000 or $4,000. And they go, okay, so for $4,000, here's what you can get as a mined diamond, right? Here's what you can get as a lab-grown diamond. And either they go, I think I'll take the lab-grown diamond. So either they can get a larger stone of the same quality or get a higher quality stone of the same size or save money. But usually they
Exactly.
don't go for saving the money.
Exactly. Wow, that's quite a change in the industry. I can imagine that the I don't know the diamond conferences are probably relatively interesting places this year and the last year.
And they're getting aggressive. I know they have lobbyists coming out against the industry, and De Beers is pushing an ad campaign, a marketing campaign. And my thing is like, look, I love De Beers, the mined diamond guys. They've been around for thousands and thousands of years, and I want them to still be around for thousands of years. Maybe be a little more environment conscientious, right? But look, it's we go hand in hand. I don't want to make enemies of anybody, right? We all got to get along. We're in the same thing together.
Exactly. I mean, one part is the environmental questions. The other one is probably the societal questions. In this conflict areas, I mean, everybody has heard of terms of blood diamonds. When you grow them in the lab, probably no blood involved.
No, not unless someone cuts himself on something accidentally. Other than that,
Exactly.
no. And that's why I said it's like we are completely opposite of that. Literally, 180 degrees opposite. We look at our manufacturing, and even us, we've tried to automate as much of the process as possible, right? The least human activity, especially when it comes to making diamonds, less theft, shrinkage, problems. So we've tried to automate our process as much as possible at Adamas, and it's done really well for us.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Explain in a few words, how is the diamond grown in the lab? What's the kind of the process? It sounds relatively mysterious for the person who has no idea about it.
So we have unicorns, and the unicorn, process is actually very, very interesting. And for me, I'm not a science guy, but it's an eye opening. I love it. It's like every time I go to the factory, it's a new field trip. And the base of the process is very simple. Chemical vapor deposition very simply means turning a gas into a solid.
Okay.
It's been around for decades and decades using the semiconductor field. In the early 1990s, Dr. Linares said, hey, you know what? I think I can figure out how to take carbon-rich gas and turn it into a diamond by CVD. And that's what he did. So he went out, patent the process, R&D'd it, patent. That's the portfolio that we bought in the company, assets that we purchased from. So basically, it's very simple. We have what we call a reactor, a growing chamber for diamonds. Mother Nature, high pressure, high temperature, right? We're the opposite. We do high temperature, no pressure. So we create a vacuum within the cylinder. We put diamond seeds on a plate. We call them diamond seeds. They're little thin wafers of a diamond, anywhere between 7 by 7 millimeters to 15 by 15 millimeters, about 120 microns thick. So it's about as thick as a postage stamp. We put 40 or 50 of those on a plate. We then ignite what we call, it's a plasma, which is like a miniature star or a sun. It's a burning ball of gas, very hot, 3 to 5,000 degrees C, even hotter than living in Scottsdale, Arizona. So 3 to 5,000 degrees C. And then we infuse that with carbon-rich gas. Very simply, the carbon-rich gas rains down onto the seeds. Wherever it hits those seeds, the seeds give it the architectural understanding and knowledge on how to build a diamond. We all know that carbon has multiple forms. One is a lubricant, right? So it's one of the softest substances on Earth. And the flip is, it's the hardest substance on Earth. So it's complete dichotomy, right? Flip the flop. So the diamond seeds actually give it this understanding, go, hey, you need to form like this to do a diamond. And that's what happens. So it starts replicating itself up in the process like this. In about 30 days, each one of those tiny little seeds turns into about a 6 to 9 carat rough diamond.
Wow.
Pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Then we take it, we in-house, we clean up the seeds, because everywhere the carbon hits that's not on a seed, it creates a poly material, this black hard material that it didn't know how to make a diamond. So again, it lands like, I don't know what to do. We're just going to sit here, right? So it forms a harder substance because of the heat. And then we take that, we clean it up, and then we send it out for cut and polish. After cut and polish, it goes for certification, GIA, IGI, and then we bring it back in the States and we sell it.
Wow. Wow. Seriously.
Oh, it's easy. Piece of cake process.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah,
like, yes. And then that's funny because you talk about for semiconductors, right? Because we did extensive testing over this last year with our diamonds. I mean, massive testing, phonon tests, nuclear tests. We wanted to make sure when we say our diamonds are a diamond, that they're diamonds. We looked at every single test and standard that qualifies a stone as a diamond. We hit or beat. Then we started looking at, okay, now we know that the semiconductor field is massive, right? You look at here's jewelry, which is a low hanging fruit, and then the TAM for semiconductors, it just eclipses that. Diamonds not only are the hardest substance on Earth, they're also the number one thermal conductor, which a lot of people don't know. So when we talk about semiconductors, computer chips, switches, et cetera, the current base is either a GaN or silicone, right? So when a silicone, I mean, the biggest issue you have is if you overclock your computer or your chip, it overheats, you can't dissipate the heat far enough. So it's always that fight of how do we get the heat out of the computer and the computer chip to get it to perform at the speeds we want it to. When it comes to diamonds, they're 50 times more thermal conductivity than silicone. And the gap band energy is 5 times more gap band energy. So the ease of electricity passing through the substance is 5 times more than silicone. Gives us a massive, massive advantage. So now our goal is to first get our diamond substrate to be used as a thermal coupler for computer chips and switches, semiconductors, and then post that, build the whole entire semiconductor out of a diamond substrate. So we kind of, it's almost like reversing the clock, because CVD has been historically used to create semiconductors. Mm-hmm. Now we're taking and go, great, we're going to use a process that we learned from the semiconductor industry and bring a new substance that modernizes and revolutionizes the semiconductor industry.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and for us, we even have one more advantage, you know, kind of see when it comes to quantum computer, we're the only company in the world pretty much that can design and develop for that.
Cool. I'm one of the few journalists who have actually seen and touched the quantum computer. Everybody's talking about them, but there's not too many of them yet around to see, to be honest.
No, I'm still on a Radio Shack TRS-80 level 2 from 1978.
No, it's not here. It's not here in the building. The thing I wanted to ask you, you told us kind of on a big picture level about how the lab-grown diamonds have kind of got a relatively large portion of the whole diamond industry. Since you guys started in 2019, how is your company? How has it developed? How's your position in the marketplace?
So we looked at, I mean, we're probably one of the top US brands, you know, in the market right now. Fortunately, unfortunately, right after we bought the assets, we got the factory up and running, new equipment came in, you know, electrical equipment that was originally leased, we purchased. By the time we got everything together and up and running, the test was February 2020. COVID had just started rear its ugly head. So we had to hit the brakes. We didn't have a choice. We couldn't, you know, put all the manpower we needed in the factory, et cetera. So we just R&D'd for the whole course of COVID, which is almost like a year and a half. And doing the R&D effort was, how do we make our reactors, which are proprietary, how do we make them more efficient, right? Use less power, invariably cost less to produce the diamonds, as well as get a higher output capacity for the diamonds, which we were very successful with. And then we said, you know, we want to make sure that we can better our diamond recipes. It's always whiter diamond, better. Even though we make it in a laboratory, they're not perfect diamonds. It just doesn't work that way. You know, Mother Nature still plays Mother Nature. Yeah. And when we talk about the color differentiation, so a D diamond is colorless. It's the best color you can get, right? It's a D for white diamond. And then you go to a J, which is pretty much starting to be a yellow diamond. In the reactor, in our recipe, it's less than 1/1,000,000th of a part of nitrogen turns it from a D to a J. Very difficult process. You have to be very exact. So down to the small minutia. So there's always variations. The seed might have one small, tiny imperfection, microscopic that you can never see, that replicates itself up through the diamond. So it changes the clarity of the diamond as well. So there's a lot of different inner reactor environmental issues that can affect it. Mm-hmm. So we grow a diamond. So for us, it was bettering our white diamond, clearer, better, larger diamonds as well. And we were very successful in that. Then our goal was always, you know, to list on a NASDAQ. So we listed on NASDAQ. And we came in a very tumultuous time in the marketplace from a public standpoint. And then it was get the factory up running to full capacity, which we were successful to do. And then our mindset is, it's always, how do I grow the company? Through acquisitions, how do we complete our ecosystem? So look, you know, selling loose stones is almost a commodity. I want set goods. We looked in the market, saw a huge need and a demand for a luxury lab-grown diamond jewelry line, which we didn't see, especially at that time. So we developed a company, or we started a company called El Jolie, which is a sub of Adamas. El Jolie, we hired different designers around the world to design our jewelry, packaging, like everything from A to Z to be the best. We wanted to step out and be, you know, LVMH quality company right out of the gate. And that was our goal and intention. So we've designed all of our jewelry. We start manufacturing the jewelry. We're pretty much done with all the designs, all the packaging, websites going up. And then we'll start our direct-to-consumer launch probably the beginning of January now. We were going to do it in November. We don't want to hit the selling season where everyone's discounting their product for a luxury brand. So we're going to come in January. So that's one thing we really pushed hard. We're pushing hard in the semiconductor technology standpoint as well right now. We set up a company called Adamas Technologies. So you'll start seeing a lot of stuff coming out from that as well. Jerry Maguire, who's our COO of the company, he was a 23-year C-level executive at Analog Chips Semiconductors in America. And then he went on from there to Fairchild. So he's got a great resume and pedigree in that capacity. And then we see it, you know, how do we grow the company? You saw we put out, we're going to acquire a cotton polisher. We want to be part of that ecosystem, right? So now we have the ability to turn, if Diamonds Direct or one of the companies comes in, look, we need, you know, 10,000 1-carat matching earring studs. When can you deliver? I go, 10 weeks, right? So we have the ability and the horsepower now to in turn service the needs and demands of the industry much easier than we could a year ago. So our goal is to be the most vertically integrated lab-grown diamond company in the world.
You talked about the
not
yellow
a big undertaking.
No. I mean, come on. If the lab grown diamonds have grown from 1% to 55% of the market, I mean, you know, that's quite massive. You talked about the white diamonds and the yellow diamonds. I've heard also about the pink diamonds. Can you grow pink diamonds in the lab also?
So we specialize in pink and white diamonds. Okay. Our pink diamonds are true Argyle pink. You know, there's only one mine that consistently produced pink diamonds from
South Africa, right?
In the world. It was in Argyle. So it was Argyle mine. So it was Argyle. So, and they just shut that mine because it was done. There was no more coming out of it. And that was almost 2 years ago. They shut down the Argyle mine. Now there's some haphazardly, once in a blue moon, will come up in the middle of mining somewhere else, but consistently it just doesn't exist. So we kind of took, here's where the Argyle colors are, their range of colors. And then we were able to replicate that within the laboratory environment. But we can do any color in the world. You want a blue diamond, a red diamond, a green diamond. And actually, my calls for the last couple of days is like, we need one distinctive color that is our color that no one else can replicate. And I think it's what we're working on right now. I don't know what it's going to be, but it should be interesting.
Sounds like a great marketing challenge. I think I wanted to ask you the raw material. You were talking about the chips or the powder of the diamonds where everything is starting to grow. Is that coming from the mine or what is that raw material?
So we can use a mine diamond, but they're not as consistent and clean for what we need from a growing standpoint. Like I said, if it starts with any type of imperfection, it's going to circle and spiral up. So we don't want to replicate that in our growth process. So we start with a seed that we've already grown from another diamond or we'll purchase. So we take a diamond and we start cutting it in micro, those small 120 micron layers. And then we'll use those. We clean them up. We make sure they're perfectly square. And that's what we use to grow. And that's how that process works. Wow. Yeah. So it's not, you know, it's different than HPHT, which is the other format that people use to grow lab grown diamonds, high pressure, high temperature, where they're starting with the carbonate material they put in. It's the pressure all at once and the heat. Very different process we have.
Okay. So it's October 23 now. Looking into the 2024, what's the kind of the big milestone? What you want to reach?
I mean, for us, I mean, first of all, is close on our acquisition targets, right? Complete our ecosystem, increase our production, start building out, or we already started building out the new facility, get that up and running, you know, get 100 reactors that are going, make sure that our jewelry lines launch, you know, El Jolie, and that should, we're really excited about that. And then obviously, like I was just saying, really push hard in the semiconductor field. So those are our three goals and tasks. Factory, you know, is running at full production. You know, complete the build out of our new factory, semiconductors technology sector, really get a charge and take the lead on that, as well as get our jewelry line out there and launch.
Stuff.
Not much. I don't need sleep.
No. Who does? Who does?
Who's asleep?
It's clearly overrated. Thanks for the interview, and good luck with growing their diamonds.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate having me on. And look, let me know if you need me to send some samples.
Good stuff. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr. Daniels again with a
big home touchdown. On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA.
Electric Acid.